Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just to remind you how to join us, we have TalkCast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions, and the call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. And please use Chrome. Unfortunately, that's the only browser they seem to support. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you need to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is FranzGames, FranzGames. And, of course, you can follow me on the Twitters. My account there is SFUOnCall. And if you want my personal account, it's a little different, so don't mind me talking about being Catholic and sometimes tech and sometimes baseball, you know, it's a mixture of stuff. My account is Paul Franz, so go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. That's PaulFranz. And, of course, I have my account for my business, Franz Games, and that is also called Franz Games. Shocker! And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. And just a reminder, this also is broadcast on YouTube Live. There's a stream that is available, which I post everywhere, not everywhere, but lots of places, including but not limited to Facebook, the Facebook page, the Twitter, and also the Starfleet Universe discussion board. Also, I posted it there, and also I usually post a link in the Discord. So if you have joined the Discord server for SFB Online, you'll find it there also. Moving forward to the event, some quick news from ADB this week. Steve mainly worked on blogs, Shapeways, and other projects, but mostly took care of Leanna's wife, who was still recovering from her surgery. Steve Petrick was busy working on SFB updates, also working on the Gorn Master Starship book. Man, I wonder when that thing's going to be done. Hopefully very soon. Gina also worked on catching up on the outstanding shopping cart orders and also Facebook, keeping that, and also keeping the website up and running because it went down for a little bit earlier this week, but also, of course, keeping the spam at bay on the BBS. Moving on to the SFB Online tournaments. Of course, we have the Masters Tournament run by Andrew Koch. That one, we got one round one game, which they're trying to get together. I want to see what can happen there. Hopefully, they'll get that done very, very soon. Also, they've got two round two games going, but we're still waiting for more. Round 48, we have got one game completed on round 3, and all the rest, round 1 and round 2, are all completely completed. Unfortunately, we've seen no progress in this tournament. I think this might be... this is getting really, really bad, people. Please get your games done, because this has gone on. This is... both these tournaments have been... I think they're going to go on to next year. You know, they might be the last tournament we ever have. You know, the way things are going, where people are not playing the games. Because we can't go on to the next tournament until this one's completed, you know. And when it comes to library, we have, of course, no progress there, but the conversions still stay at 2,426. We get to be converted 906, leaving it around a percentage complete of approximately 73%. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, as the one, the only, the Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight it is show and tell, is what it is. Hopefully I will be entertaining tonight. Obviously, actually, this is a podcast. Podcast usually means no video. So this is going to make things interesting. Because it's show and tell. What I would recommend for any of you who currently are just listening to this podcast, this is one that you might actually want to go grab the YouTube recording of this podcast, because one of the things I'm wanting to do this podcast is actually to show off the SFU online client, show you off that one, show certain things that you can do and so forth. And for those unfamiliar with SFU online client, you actually can see it. Obviously, if you've already seen it, you might go, "Well, but big deal. I've seen it. I've used it and so forth." But okay, that's fine. Well, the other one I'm going to actually show is also the SFU aid, the Starfleet Warlord aid, the GUI that I created. This was to actually replace, there's a DOS base. Yes. For those old timers who actually remember DOS. This is before the whole idea of multitasking operating systems. Actually, that was one of those times in history where one of the coolest things ever created, I thought, was this little piece of software called DeskView, where the whole idea was basically take DOS and you make it multitasking, which was really cool because you could have these, you actually got to have these text-based windows. So you had a text-based windowing system, which I think that's a cool idea. And I know, I think the i3 and I forgot the other one. There's a couple other Windows managers where the whole idea is text-based, it's tile-based. Though I think DeskView, I don't think it was tile-based. It actually had overlapping windows. I actually tried to use it a little bit. It didn't quite work as well as I would want it to do, especially because DeskView required you to have at least a 386, I think. It's when actually going into protected mode and that kind of thing. And it didn't quite work as well as I had hoped. But anyhow, before I start going on with those things, yeah, Dave, you might not be seeing or typing as much, though. Invariably, we will probably be switching back to the view of the guest, the talk show guest window, so people can see the chat and all that kind of thing. But one thing I wanted to mention before I start all that is I'm obviously, if you follow me and know me, you know that I like baseball. So I'm just going to bring that in here real quick. The only reason I'm mentioning baseball in this context at this moment in time is because I was listening to a podcast, which I listened to called The Show Before the Show. For those I'm familiar with the whole idea of the show. If you actually saw Bull Durham, you've heard, you know what the show is. Obviously, the show is basically the major leagues. That's what it is. So the show before the show is basically the whole idea is a podcast on the minor league systems. They get interviews with minor league players. They have all kinds of neat stuff that they do. I like listening to them. One of the things that happens, of course, is the off season for the minor league teams. This is when they have all kinds of things that they do, from changing the names of the ball clubs, to changing their affiliations, to actually moving ball clubs. Or shutting down because some of them have ended their place. In some cases, but in this case, the one the reason why I even bring this up is because Amarillo, yes, the place where actually Amarillo Design Bureau is located, Amarillo, Texas, where Steve Cole, Gene Sexton, Steve Patrick, Leanna Cole, all of them are located. They have been building a stadium for the past year for a new minor league team. And I just heard what the minor league team was named. And of course, it's a minor league team, so it's going to have those goofy names. Mine, the one close by to me, it's not that crazy. It's called the Reading. It's called the Fightin' Phils. The one that I like the Orioles. So their club is the Bowie Bay Sox. This again is not, it's not too crazy. You know, we've got some there's all kinds of other ones. I think was Lynchburg Flames. I think it is, and another ones. You know, but I heard the one for Amarillo. They announced it to be the Sod. Poodles. Yeah. The Sod Poodles. I heard it's a reference to something, but it's like, okay. That's kind of a weird name, but that's the name they're going to have. And actually, makes me actually want to go to Amarillo even more, because I'd love to go to the stadium, because I've watched a tiny bit, and this has been many, many months ago, so I don't know where they are when it comes to the progress of actually building the stadium. They actually have a live stream of them building the stadium. And actually, I saw they had gotten to the point where they were putting up the concrete for the stands. They had put down, they leveled the field. They had not installed like the sod or anything like that. There's still a lot of construction equipment at the scene, at the site. So the question is, of course, where or are they at this point? I don't know. And I did not check, and I'm sorry for not checking on that. And before we start, one last thing, which is, of course, Green Bay is currently beating Seattle 21-17, and that's just before the first half is over. So, on with the show. So, in this case, what we're going to do is we're going to start with the SFU Online client. And let me bring that up. Okay. Now, let me just do one quick thing here. What I'm going to do is this, that. Okay. To do this, I'm going to have a little peek. Let people have a little of a peek behind the scenes, because it's going to be easier if I just share my full desktop instead of just the individual applications at this point. So let me switch over to Chrome. Let me switch over to that. And let's boop. And that. I'm going to do my entire screen. I might regret this, but hopefully not. Okay. That's currently going to look very, very weird. So let's click that. Okay. So move forward. Let's go to the SFU Online client. Currently, we actually have, big surprise, we actually have people on it. And I'm going to, off my notifications. So, okay. So this is the online client. I normally log in, it's simple window. In this case, I got my username, password. If you want a demo account, what you do is actually a demo account is you can choose any kind of username you want. And then you click on demo account. it'll add demo to it. And that will be your a free account. It costs you nothing to actually log in to the server and say hello. So my account is Andromedan. Big surprise. Okay, and we're going to log in. Okay, and voila, we're logged back in. Looks like we have currently, we have Sir Cat Who Eats Photons. That's Ted Fay and Carol, which is Charles Carroll. I'm not sure what they're doing at the moment, whether they're fighting or what. Well, what the heck? Let's go take a look-see, shall we? Okay. Okay. Let's take a look-see. Ooh. Okay. And let's look at the ship. We've got that. Because it looks like a Lyran. Has been converted. Okay, and his opponent. Ah. Old Space Dragon, Ancient Space Dragon, Timmy, and two youngins. Okay, so it's basically a monster setup. And this is the dragon actually I created actually. I added support for this into the client so that you actually can go here and if you're a player, you can actually do damage, which is kind of cool. You know, I don't have any weapons because I'm not a player. The opponent's stats, this is for... Blah, blah, blah. So you can see the weapon status for the opponents. There's the SDs. The fighter squadrons are actually, in this case, shuttles because there's no difference between the two. We got our two fine. Oh, wow. He's got. These are all suicide shuttles. All landing on the great. Okay. So. Where is that? Ah. This is great grandpa. Yeah, okay, so he removed it. So this is where. 180 damage. I think that dragon might be dead. Nope. Okay, let's take a look. See. Yep. Oh man, he's hurting. He's hurting tremendously. He's got what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 more boxes, and that dragon is completely and utterly dead. Right now, I don't think he can even move because he has no wings. He can't attack because he has no claws. You know, it's. Yeah. W4G don't have to do it manually. Then you have Grandpa and then the two youngins. And it looks like the Lyran is trying, they're trying to defend. Okay, don't mind me, I'm just zooming. So. That's the commando. Okay. So, that's the peek in on one of these games, which is, as I said, this looks like a monster scenario with, okay, these are what? Oh, Plasma from the Monsters. Okay. Oh, I forgot about that. You can. Well, that's interesting. You got one moon and one planet. That's interesting. Okay. Well, okay. While we do this, let's leave. Let's exit the game. And of course, Ted's going, wait, hold on. I might have some shuttles here. So, I'm sure he's trying to completely kill it. All he needs to do is fire some phasers. Okay. I'm sorry. If you didn't notice, you see the pop-ups here. They're little tooltips. So you can see what's going on quickly, you know, facing in the speed. And speed 23. Just double clicking and you can bring it here. Obviously, it's been damaged a little bit. Lost the phasers. The phaser went over here. Down to four hull here. Six. Boy, he must have had four tractors. Dang. And a little bit of damage there. Any other damage? No, I don't see any other damage. So. Because if I recall correctly, the dragons have their eyes are phasers. They have do some claw damage if they are within your same hex, and obviously they breathe fireballs. I.e. plasma torpedoes. So, I think we will move forward from this lovely event. I'm just going to do one quick thing, which is yeah, geez, I haven't seen Iron Maiden for a long time. Okay, so why don't we exit out of this game. Exit. So what we actually can do is, I'm not going to bring up a tournament because I'm logged in, and if I try to do a tournament game, it won't allow me to play because it's going to wait for a secondary person to play. So let's do this, and let's do the showroom. Okay. So it's pretty simple to start a game. You would bring up a board. Now, one of the things you can do is you actually can change the board size. By default, it's going to be the standard board, which is going to be 42 by 30. For certain tournaments, certain campaigns, what they do actually is they have 99 by 99 board. So it is huge. It's a very, very large board. And let's shrink it. See, this is shrunk as small as it can be. But so you can adjust to be whatever size you want. If you actually want to, you actually can have a smaller size if you want to. If you want a small board, let's go 20 by 20. Now, why you'd ever want to do a smaller board? I don't know. Because the one thing that is obvious when it comes to the board sizes is going to be that it's going to define your playing area. Because of, yes, you can do floating maps, but it's very difficult. You have to do everything by hand. Currently, the client does not actually support floating maps, or even the idea of requesting a shift. That's something actually I could probably do. It's if it's something as simple as requesting everything to shift. Like one player asked, "Okay, can we shift direction A by six hexes?" Okay. then they'll say yes, and everybody would move their ships six hexes in direction A. Things like that. That in theory would be possible to do. Okay, let me just restore this back to 42 by 30, the standard map. Okay? And so there's a couple ways of adding ships. One way of adding a ship is actually up here. Just add a piece. I'll bring this up. Standard, the default position is 0, 0, 0, 1, 1, basically. Upper left-hand corner. Obviously, if you want to, you can place it wherever you want. Like, let's start with 2501. And let's choose Federation. And let's see what's a neat little thing. Let's go. Just double click on the heavy command cruiser. Okay, we have. Okay, let's just do. Red? I like Red the Fed. That's just one of those. Okay, initial speed, 0. Let's go facing direction D because it's 2501 is at the top of the board. Direction D is going to be facing the bottom of the board. That's another thing that currently the client doesn't support, which is flipping the board, but so that it always remains constant, the same orientation. Maybe one of these days I'll get around to doing it. The tough part about that, and I've looked into this before, the tough part about actually flipping it is actually changing all the places where I currently, when you click on or even this, because you, let me add this, and I'll show you. Now, if you notice, over at the location over here, you see that as I move this around, it changes the location. That's because each time that you move the mouse to a new location, it then will calculate, okay, what is the hex that you're currently located in? So, again, SSD, this is what heavy command cruiser looks like. You have 4 photons. You've got, the standard tracks here and here. This is the head bonus number. Okay, you have the shields, 32, 28, 28, 24, 24, and 24. Looks like these are one of the updated shields, where you actually, the person took my advice and elongated it. Because the great thing about when you do this, what it will do is it will actually, it's like a thermometer. It will slowly start to fill on this direction. So it's kind of neat. Actually, there was one suggestion, I forget who made it, but to make, instead of doing it with a bar here, to make it kind of a semicircle. The thing is, I thought about that and went, that makes it a little more difficult. I'd have to figure out how that, it would probably look kind of cool. I'm just not sure how I could do that and make it look presentable. Again, you got your two G drone racks, you got two left front left, two right front right phasers. You've got your four forward half phasers, your flag bridge, and so forth. So this is what's called the third gen, which is the new way of showing things, which is instead of having individual boxes, have the total boxes represented. Obviously, if you're used to the old version where you see the different boxes and so forth, this looking like this, like, I don't like that. Because you're used to a different part. Now, the good part about obviously this way is, one, you have this beautiful background shown. Number two, it makes it really quick to, okay, you got 15, 15, and 2. Okay, that's 32. So you don't even have to, you don't have to count boxes. You just have to do a little bit of math. Obviously, for some people, counting boxes makes it a lot easier to do. And I understand that. So we're going to go to expendables and seeking weapons. Okay, currently we have 2 G-Racks. And what we're going to do is I'm going to do both of these. And I'm going to fill the rack. Both racks, I'm going to fill them with type 1 fast. Okay. Because these G-Racks, there's only 4 spaces available. So they've maxed it out. Obviously, since it is a G-Rack, one thing I could do is, okay, let's blank this out. And what I can actually do is, where is it? That should be available, but I don't see it. Okay. That's something I have not done. Okay, so I apologize. I thought I could do it, and this is a very bad demo. Because since it's a G-Rack, you should be able to put add rounds into the G-Rack. And then we have storage here. And you have the different types. You know, let's say number of, okay, we got like 2. Type 1s. Okay, give me, and so forth. So you actually can note what your drone rack is. There's also plasma rack storage. Actually, I know it might sound weird that you actually have plasma rack storage and you know how many plasma racks. This was required for certain ships. For example, carriers. Carriers might not have plasma racks on the ship, but they need storage for the plasma canisters. That's why they're called plasma rack storage. But they need storage for it because they need to reload their fighters. So the only way to do that is you have to have storage so they can keep track of how much you start with and how much you will end with. That's one of the reasons why you need this here. And obviously the thing is, for this you have to define whether you have to use type K or type D. You know, type D, okay, let's say we have 50 of them. You know, obviously it makes no sense in the current scenario. You know, so we'll just put 0 and blanks it out. So, but that's one thing. If you got a carrier, you'd actually need to add that into it. So, and we can actually choose the different missions, including a scatter pack. Click on load, and we can actually load into it. So let's add. Let's standard add. Okay. No, it's wrong. Okay, so that's okay. Forgot. Add actually allows you to add drone definitions. That's weird. Why it's doing that? Okay, that. Now, obviously, in some cases, what we really should be doing is transferring from storage. But also we could, in the case of why there's actually transfer to storage, is if you want to unload your scatter pack and put the drones back into storage, which you can do. So let's click OK. So we have a scatter pack. It's all ready for the beginning of the turn. And then what we do, we start the turn. and you got it's a nice automated calculating of the EA. You know, you can try like let's just hold. When I put a little H there to designate that it's holding that plasma torpedo, and then you'd probably want to discharge your battery, and then here you'd want to recharge this. Now I have 5 points of reserve warp, and then we come up here and go okay. Let's do a speed plot. It's turn mode D. Yeah, I have to work on getting this a little better so you actually can see it. See, you know, push this out so this here shows better. I need to work on that. But, so you can do 17 and that one. Increase on, let's say, right near the end. I want to speed up from 17 to 26. So 19 points of energy. We're good. We still got total power used, total power available 43. So we still have 11 unused. And if you notice, also it automatically calculates the starting phaser capacitors for you, which is makes things easier and also helps you as you fire. The phaser capacitor will be used there. Now, the only reason they have phase capacitor added, that's if you actually want to recharge your phasers in the middle of a turn. In the case of, let's say, that you have reserve power, you have some batteries, so you want to recharge your phasers before your opponent comes in and blasts, because you know he's going to blast your batteries right off your ship. So you want to use the batteries before they're actually destroyed, in which case they're unusable at that point. So there, you know, there's a reason for that. Just like this is one of those rare things. You really, for most ships, this means nothing. You never actually add reserve power. This is meant for mid-turn adding reserve power in the middle of a turn. You would, one of the few races, empires, sorry, Gene, that actually use this is actually the Andromedans, because they could transfer the power from the PA panels into the batteries, therefore increasing the reserve power. That's makes things quite interesting, I must admit. And being an Andromedan player, that's one thing you're constantly looking out for. Now, This is a standard energy allocation form where it has Wild Weasel and Seeking a Suicide Shuttle. I personally don't like this arrangement, but it makes things a lot more difficult if you actually want to have. Because I like the arrangement for the tournament that I have for the energy allocation. For energy allocation for the tournament, what I've actually done in that case is I have had each shuttle has a separate line, so you can tell what you're doing with each shuttle. So, and since we have some extra power, let's go 5 points in the front. And so let's go five. Right. So we're being held, and then we're going to use four more points to completely overload that photon. So that's going to be an overloaded photon at the end of the term. Oh, actually, no, it is already. Okay. And always a good idea to put 2 points in the tractor, so just in case you have your opponent. And when you're done, you do a submit EA. Yes, I'm good. Obviously, you might want to allocate some ECM or ECCM, because this is a regular game instead of tournament. Tournament play, you normally don't do that. Okay. And what you do when you start the tournament, what you do is actually click this, which is reveal your initial EW and speeds. So, like that. So, are you sure you want to reveal it? Yes, I do. Okay, so at that point, your initial speed will be set. If your speed has changed, you'll see change speed. And you know, when a player actually starts its energy allocation, it is announced and seen when it's finished. The great thing about that is that the reason why I do that is so that people know then when your opponent's finished their energy allocation, in which case then everybody can announce that. Now, I do have a check in place, so if you try to announce and people have not finished their EA, it will say, hey, wait a minute, not everyone's done their EA. Just like if you try to go to speed, to impulse 32 to impulse 1 without doing an energy allocation, it will scream and go, are you sure you want to do this? It seems like you and your opponents have not done your energy allocations. So, just want to take a look, see what's going on here. Okay, go back here. So, when it comes to movement, you can use this or you can use the keyboard. The keyboard actually is numeric keypad. So, 7, 8, 9, 4, 6, 1, 2, 3. So, if you, in the case of, and let's just do next. Okay, nobody moves next. Okay, so I can either do this or I can use the keyboard and go, and it will move forward. Next. And you can, oops, there. Turn it. And you want to bring up the SSD, just double click and brings up the SSD. And then you can, there's all kinds of things when you right click. You can manage radius rings. Radius rings are overall only meant for Lyrans. Notice it'll add a ring. The whole idea is that radius rings are used to simulate. Okay, and remove that radius ring. They're used to simulate the ESGs. So you can see, okay, the ESG on the board. So it makes things a heck of a lot easier. You know, you can tractor, you can release, attach or release. This is a weird thing. It's reset tractor links. You can get yourself into a bind if people, because these are actually the tractor links are represented at is groups. Let me just do this real quick. Let me just add a piece here. I'm just going to add other. Give me a. It's a simple. Let's go with an admin shuttle. Okay. Bring it up over here. Target. Let's go speed zero. Unfortunately, okay, like that. Okay, close. Now, if I want to, I can now go attach tractor to target. So, attaching the tractor. Now, if I do this, let's go next. Now, if I move, it does that. Now, the one thing, if you look, you go here and list groups. you'll see this goofy thing. Tractor link, boom, boom, boom. This is the behind the scenes kind of thing. For groups. It can be done. You can use groups for different things. In theory, you could actually, if a set of units always move in unison, you could actually create a group of all of them together. But if you notice, you have this tractor link here. Now, if I go here and I do the same thing, you also note it also has a tractor link group. Now, the reason why you have a reset is if someone did something goofy, which go here, remove from group, remove that. Now, this side, it still has the group. So it says there's a, so in this case, I can do this and actually do a release tractor because it'll see that it's still there. But here's the thing, if I go here, in theory, let's just move it here. Yeah. Notice this doesn't move. So let's just undo move. But if I move the here, and if I move him, he also won't move that because of the link is broke, even though you do have a tractor link. In which case, that's when you do this. You do a go and reset the tractor link. So basically, it clears those groups for you. So that's just one of those cleanup kind of behind, you know, if something gets goofed up, you can use that to fix your issue. And you can have different, you can change your speed plot in the middle right here. And notice that, okay, if I change my speed plot, okay, I want to change it to be, let's go 24, that. Cost of the energy change is 2. Because if you go up by 1, okay, you gain what? 1, 2. Okay, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So that's cost of 2 because it's not doubled. It's you can actually have the cost doubled if you do certain things. But you know, it's it automatically will calculate the cost for you. Now that I did that, what I should do, I need to go back to EA and go, oh, wait a minute. You actually used, you notice it automatically added, okay, you used 2 reserve power because of it changed the speed. Let's go on next impulse. So that's going to move again. Now, obviously, you can do all kinds of things with the map. You can actually change map color. Let's change this to be a wonderful black. And you can change floating windows so that your window is actually floating with your... This actually is really nice in the case of, I know some people that have their board game, the board here, as a separate window, and you have multiple monitors set up. I don't have a multiple monitor set up, so that doesn't work for me. Pardon me. I have a cat issue. So that's a, and then of course, if you want to, okay, activity. I got some down here, these are quick selectors. Obviously, once you can go through this whole impulse selection process, or you can, in this case, okay, I want to launch a drone, so I select launch a drone. It will go right to that impulse segment. And let's go here, and I want, what's my target? My target's going to be target. And it's never been used before. This also is a way to warn you if you've already launched from that drone rack before. It will not stop you. It's just kind of a way of looking at it and see, oh, wait a minute, I've already launched from this in the past 8 impulses or something like that. Because of the client, when it comes to the SMB side, is very flexible. It doesn't enforce the rules. It gives you suggestions. So in this case, okay, we do an execute, and yep, there. Now, let me show you a nice little feature here, which is select this. If you notice, I mean, select this, and you'll see an arrow. Now, lest you are concerned, because it means, okay, this just says, okay, this drone, this is the target. Thus, you concern yourself that your opponent can do this and find out, oh, what's the target of this drone? He can't. That's because what you need to, if you need to do that because they labbed your drone, what you do is you go reveal info, in which case then you would reveal the type, of course. You would also reveal the target and the complete loadout. The reason why sudo is not shown, is not highlighted, well, you don't normally show it, is because of this is the generic attributes of a seeking weapon. There are additional attributes, including special orders, that necessarily might not apply. So in this case, you do a reveal, and it would reveal that information, what the target is, loadout, speed module, and package. Because that's one, you know, thing you can create. It's actually, you can create custom drones. There was a suggestion many, many years ago, this 2K, hey, can't you just create all of the combinations of the drones? Yes, we calculated it out. It's somewhere 1,600 different combinations of the packages. So, to say the very least, it's impractical, and trust me, you don't want that. Because the question is, how many people would actually use all 1,600? I'm willing to bet there's not a single person. Each person has their own special drone loadout that they want, which is why you can actually add them to the client. So if you have a special loadout, you know, a special package for a drone that you like when it comes to normal play, you can actually add those. So that's a quick showing of what the SFU online client is like. There's many, many other features to the client. I don't want to do an exhaustive thing of the online client. So with that, we are going to move. I'm going to go here. I'm going to quit the game. I'm going to quit the client. Okay. Quit the client. Goodbye. Okay. So what we're going to do. Yes. Packers is now winning 21-17. So why don't we just minimize that. Okay. So this is what we're doing. Okay. Let me create a new player, and let's call this demo player. Okay, now what we're going to do is we're going to import a file. What I'm going to do is I have dun, 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 dun. Don't mind me. Got these are the different games that I've currently run. Running are In the past, I've run. And in this case, we have Corp has all information, so let's open that up. This is the current report. Now, in the current report, these are the ships that are part of that report. We have the manifesto, function, you know, all in here. You want a summary of your locations. Here it shows your ships and the different calculations for the AF attack factor and the defensive factor for those ships for the different locations. And if you want to, you can go click this, and then you can see the info for a single ship. See the attack factor, the shield factor, hit points, the amount of damage it can take, defense factor, what the current value is, and the maximum. These are the maximum values on this side. T-bombs, drones, commandos, and what the current speed is, including what the top speed. Current crew, also how much is the maximum amount of crew that you currently can have. This can actually be increased by training. And, of course, this one has one of the variants, which is a scout. And these are the different kind of variants that can be part of it. And also any legendary officers that are currently assigned to those ships. What you would now do normally, okay, also you want to look at the sector. Double click on it. You can see here is the sector scan for sector 11. So you can see what we got here. Planet with an asteroid field, empty space with an asteroid field, empty space with a nebula. That's what all these different abbreviations are for the map. Obviously, you probably could add some graphics to it. Of course, the thing is, I could do that. And I might do that at some point because it'd make it look pretty, I'll admit. But of course, here's the good part about having something as simple as text. And that is, it's easy to figure out what exactly it is. You don't have to try to interpret what the icons mean. And then if you want to, actually, we can look at view the report for this turn. And here is the report. Okay, got three sites, Abigar, Freya, and Venus. Venus is the home office because here is the home office for that. It is 11, which is Venus. And you get 100 PE, OR, DC, and FP. Now, that currently has a fortification of 200, which means it has a base station. And looks like we have some legendary officers that have been moved, added to the sites. Obviously, this player did a boo-boo and tried to add a legendary officer to a site which he currently does not actually control. So, can't do that. Here's actually the manual terrain scan for Sector 11. And of course, later on, you know, you can. This is money balances. This is a learning game, so it doesn't cost anything. Normally, a turn cost, if you did it through the aid, it would cost you $4 per turn. Can this get expensive? Yes, it can get expensive, but this is a game meant for multiple players and. It takes quite a bit of work to keep it all running. Normally, if you want, you could print this out and you can actually fax it to me. If you fax it to me, then I have to charge you more. And also, there if I currently don't advertise it, but currently there is the option to actually have me mail you turns. Now, those turns get kind of expensive. Those are $9 per turn. $9. Now, some people, that's fine because they're already paying $7 for the faxing, but they want them printed and they want them mailed, which costs an extra $2. And basically, the $2 for me, that just covers costs. And that's all it does. It covers the printing cost. It covers the mailing cost, which usually is somewhere like $1.50 per turn. And then, of course, you can enter in the orders here. And let's go with, and then go. Yeah, let's choose something goofy. Let's go like that. Now, if you notice that moving fine. Oh, it's red. What red means is that you entered an incorrect move, at least according to the client. Now, just so that there is some cases where this actually is a valid order, a valid move. That there are certain things within the client. Oh, no, within Starfleet Warlord, which is called, they're called warp gates. Not warp gates, sorry. Stargates. Stargates actually allow you to, when you enter them, they'll allow you to jump to be someplace else within the same sector. Which is interesting because of, and yeah, and you would actually see that. Let me just bring up this again. And let me see, do I see any? Nope, I see no stargates because it would be the point. Oh, here it is. Actually, is that a stargate? It's possible that's a stargate. I have to double check because, oh yeah. Sorry, this is area point. I always get those confused. I always thought it's point and area. No, actually, it is point and area, which means this is not. This is a. I think this is a gas giant. No, GG is a gas giant. Look where SG is. But this is area. Maybe. I'm sorry. I apologize. I have to look that up. But if there's a stargate, then it could actually, let's say this was a stargate. That means if I enter here, and instead of going to 0511 or 0611, I might end up over here. So, you know, I can easily jump from here up to here and keep going. And then, because overall, you get a listing of what's a minor, what's a major site. And the different sites here, certain sites, you actually can get EAPs from, as shown by the report. Depending upon what each kind of point terrain produces, a different kind of, not kind of EAP, but a component of the EAP. Because an EAP is made, one EAP is made of one person, one ore, one dilithium crystal, and what's the last one? I apologize. Give me the report. And I forgot the FP. That's people, that's ore, that's dilithium crystal, and that's something else. And I can't remember off the top of my head. But basically, it's one of each. So that you require one of each. So in the case of, let's say, Abdigar. Notice it's 39, 23, 22, 24. That means you actually gain only 22 EAPs because they made up of each one. So, you'd run out of DC before anything else. So that's your limiting factor when it comes to EAPs produced. Obviously, some sites are more, have more ore. Some sites have more people. Some sites have more dilithium crystals. It varies upon the site. And obviously you want to, part of the game is actually conquering these sites. One, for the economic value. Two, for a standard game, that is the goal. When it comes to the die-hard variant of the game, that actually is worth points to winning the game. Die-hard is a standard 30 turns. Standard can go from 15, 20, 25, possibly. It could go all the way up to 30. All depends on number of players. It depends upon how long it takes for people to actually gather up the required number of sites to be considered the winner. So what you normally would do is, okay, you enter in your orders here. Actually, dying. Okay. Oh, here it is. Right here. Okay. And after you all said no, okay, you can, okay, let's purchase a ship. Notice it's red. Okay, give me a Fed. Give me a Scout. And if I want to, according to the rules, I can name this ship. And so let's call it Seeker. So I'm, if I would actually run this turn, this ship would move to 0808 and then bounce because of it can't go to this. It's the illegal move, so it wouldn't go there. But then afterwards, I can then purchase a scout, assuming that I have enough EAPs, economic points, in which case then when this turn was submitted, I then would process the turn and then send you back the results. In which case, you'd read back in here and you get to see what it is. Now, you would do a save here. It produces a file, and then you just do a save. And you, what you would do, you take that file and you'd email it to me at warlord@play-by-e-mail.com. I know it's weird with the dashes and all, but that's the only one I can get available. I think actually I own now play-by-email.com, the actual without the dashes, but I'm not about to change the domain now. It's kind of silly because that's what people know. So that is the Starfleet Warlord Aid. Obviously, it's part of the integrated system. Part of it is that part of playing Starfleet Warlord is you actually have the different players actually playing the system. They get to play the individual, well, you play against players, you do a lot of diplomacy, and part of the diplomacy and making the deal. Now, obviously, there's always the issue with people backstabbing one another, and there have been known that some players will hold a grudge, and that continues along from game to game to game to game. So that happens sometimes. It depends upon the player. Now, obviously, people are going to play the one way they're going to play. I encourage people to play nicely. And also, if you want to talk to some of the people that played Starfleet Warlord, currently we have a Starfleet Warlord group. It is a members-only group. I'm pretty sure you can see the group. You just can't interact. If you want to interact, you have to request to be added to the group. In which case, I'll look at you and go, okay, let's look at you. Are you a spammer? No, you look good. I've not had that much problems with spam accounts trying to get access to the group. I've had a couple, which are kind of obvious. When you have this picture of this beautiful woman as the profile picked, And it got created a month ago. And she's part of 1,000 groups. What's wrong with this picture? You know? So, that is the case. I think with that, we will wrap up. I hope you enjoyed seeing the different clients. This evening, let me just finish this up with... Give me a sec. Talk to you. Okay, now. There it is. Okay. Just want to bring back and end with the chat room. Obviously, some people. Yeah. Sorry, Russ. I was unable to keep an eye on the group, but yeah, there was kind of SFB Online. How, you know, introduction is what it is. See, as I said, it's a show and tell kind of episode, and definitely for those people listening to the podcast, I will make sure there is a link to this actual YouTube video so that you can actually watch the video. Obviously, listen. I would recommend that you would then I would recommend that, obviously, yeah, I'm assuming you're watching it at this point. I did recommend it at the beginning of this podcast, and hopefully you will then watch the whole all the way through and get to see it, some demo of SFB Online and Starfleet Warlord Aid, and maybe even join our happy band. You know, obviously for SFB Online, it's sfbonline.com. For Starfleet Warlord, that's a little more tricky. It's play-buy-e-mail.com. If you actually look for Starfleet Warlord, let me just double check, because I do own the StarfleetWarlord.com website. I forget if I added a redirection or not. Okay, I don't see it. But I'm pretty sure you can do a search for Starfleet Warlord and the webpage should show up in the results. Yeah, it is the first results will come for it. And so, if you want to join, please join. And if you currently, I've started running these learning games. I've not actually announced it formally, but if you actually create an account, register your account, which costs $1. And in that case, with the $1, then if you want to, you can play a learner's game, which is a game which just you, no one else, no pressure. What you can do is you can fight the monsters, you can fight the NPCs in this 3x3 galaxy. No, a normal game, a full game is 10x10, but I've, for some other games, in the case of my current standard game, I've got it trimmed down to 8x8. The reason why I have trimmed down to 8x8 is because of otherwise people are going to be running around trying to find someone to defeat and they're going to be missing. they won't be able to find them. So. Yeah, Dave, no problem. I'm more than happy to give you all a show. Okay, well, with that, I wish you a good night.